sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak, fuck Twitter, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. I'll explain that fuck Twitter in a bit. FYI, and a reminder for returning listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Much Music on Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on September 25th and is brought to you by the letter FW. FW for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yes. Yeah. Today's episode, we have plenty of reasons to be on a fuck Whitey tip, but we'll get to that in a bit. First things first. I'm currently banned. The account B Blizzak is currently banned on Twitter or blocked. I don't know what the fuck is going on. On the previous episode, I explained. Plug previous episode, which I hope you listened to or you checked out. I explained how I got banned over a misunderstanding of terms. I made a joke. I made an exaggeration. And it was interpreted as an act of encouraging people to be violent with the person I was making this joke with. Now, I can understand that I can be an emotional person, and sometimes I can be an emotional person, and I tend to exaggerate my words a lot. Like, I'm confessing, I'll admit this. And some I could understand how, for some, it could be interpreted as not the way I would want for it to be interpreted. So all this to say that I accept the punishment on the part of Twitter, even though I'm fucking annoyed by it, and I'm also a little like, I'm a little, I don't know. It's I'm feeling like these white people saying, I don't know what to say anymore. Anything can offend you people, and whatever. But I'm annoyed. Point blank, I'm annoyed. What's even more annoying is I got the announcement of this ban on Thursday, and they said 4 days or 2 days. All I know is I thought I'd be off the ban by today, but I'm not. And yeah, it is what it is. But on the plus side, I've started to use my own the Twitter account that I created for Shut Up Podcast, which is Shut Up Podcast 1. I got to give it a better name. But the username is NT Shut Up Podcast, as in New Testament Shut Up Podcast, as in the new version of Shut Up Podcast. New Titties Shut Up Podcast. And that was the comedy. Yes, that was I'm a podcaster first and a comedian after. Yeah, I don't know. So I've been using it more frequently. I've been commenting on Twitter through that account, completely forgetting that I'm also advertising, representing the podcast. And who knows, there's a possibility that someone might be like, hey,
let me check this motherfucker out. Because I tend to do that. When I see the word podcast on a Twitter account, I automatically go and check it out. Well, for the most part. Sometimes. And it is what it is. Yeah, it is where I'm at. So on the plus side, I've been, I guess in a way, advertising the podcast. And if you by any chance are someone who saw my tweet, saw the link to my podcast, went to the website, read the about us. I'm exaggerating, but this is my ideal situation. Read the about us, got curious, and then clicked on the latest episode. Welcome. Make yourself at home. Don't get too comfortable, but I mean, make yourself at home. And let's get the show. This is the show. This is, hope you enjoy the show. I'll leave it at that. This show, yeah. In case you didn't read the about us, this podcast is just my journal and my soapbox. That's it. I'm not going to make it any prettier or whatever, put a bow on it, but that's what it is. All right, let's jump to, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about how, so the first item on the agenda was, I said, the stress to get it right. Prepping versus freestyling. So I have this thing. This might be in therapy. This week in therapy. But no. I'm just okay. Quickly talk about how every episode I manage to find a way to make this process a bit more complicated than it needs to. And part of that need to complicate things is perfection. And the perfection that I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to find the line between preparing for an episode and freestyling some topics. Like sometimes I write things and it's just a feeling. It's just like I'm inspired by some feeling that I can't describe. And I figure out that I'm hoping that by the time I get to recording, that I hit record and talk about the topic, I'll figure out what the fuck I was trying to say. I don't know, man. It's kind of like I'm trying to figure out what exactly, I'm trying to quantify what exactly makes a great episode. And one thing I discovered is having a topic and saying everything I wanted to say about this topic. Now, some people tell you that, hey, why don't you write in advance, what do you want to talk about? But let me put it this way. It's kind of like going on a vacation. I don't know what kind of person you are, but I learned this through dating, that there are two kinds of people. Well, there might be more, but in my world, in my limited experience on this planet Earth, I've discovered there are two kinds of people when it comes to trips. There's one group who plans the fuck out of that trip. Man, they budget, they fucking itemize everything. They know, they pack, they know how many underwears, whether they need a large container of toothpaste or the small container of toothpaste. Every item in that suitcase is accounted for every activity, everything they plan. The whole trip is planned to the tit. I don't know if that's an expression, planned to the tit, but it's planned the fuck out, every single detail. And then you got lazy motherfuckers like me who just like throw clothes in the suitcase and like, you know, okay, don't get me, I'm exaggerating right now. I'm not that bad, but I tell myself, okay, likely I'm going to go clubbing. Likely I'm going to do this. I might do that. I need clothes for this, that, then, and the third, or in case I feel like this or whatever, or in case I get some chicks, chicks, let me get some condoms in there. Yeah. Anyways, I've always overplanned, my condom situation. Like, I always bring condoms, but it's they never come back. Okay, you know what? This is not supposed to be a sad story. My point is, I don't plan trips very well. I usually have shit in my suitcase that's too much. And but the thing is, sometimes it's fun to just freestyle, to just show up in a new place and just do whatever the fuck you want to do. Problem with that is sometimes you oversleep, because if you don't plan things, then you go with your mood, and God forbid your mood is always, I don't want to do shit except get drunk and sleep. Then yeah, you tend to, oh my God, you tend to worst your trip. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to figure out the balance between preparing and freestyling, and I still haven't figured it out. And not figuring out is what leads me to be stressed out about every single one of these episodes. Yeah, so that's some behind the curtains details of what goes on. But I just felt the need to share that with you, the stress to get it right. And you know what? And I think I'm sharing this as fellow content creators. Like, if you're not a content creator, you'll be like, fuck, I don't need to know this detail. That's like me telling you the name of the sound, the sound technician. Okay, that's that's exaggerating. I'm saying, yes, you as the audience, you're like, I don't give a fuck. But if you're a content creator, you will connect to this. Some of you will connect to the stress you probably put yourself through in order to get the right show, the right to create your content. It's not easy, man. It's not easy, man. But who knows? Maybe at some point I'll figure it out. Or maybe I will develop the art of not giving a fuck and stop stressing myself over it. But here we are, all right? So episode 019. About the title of today's episode. It was a doozy. Okay. Today's title, but in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Shout out to all of you going, what the fuck does that? Like, sometimes I like to put titles that are irrelevant, like, that'll make you say, what the fuck is that about? And if you're a fan of the X-Clan, famous rap group from during the 90s. Sorry, they were one of, like, Tupac was my favorite rapper, but when X-Clan came to the scene, they did something. They were magic. They were a great, oh my God, I don't have the words to describe how much, when X-Clan came to the scene, and it was, the song was Heed the Word of the Brother, and boom, boom, and their dress code, the way they dress, basically, up until then, I remember still feeling that shame of my African heritage, of the fact that my ancestors came from the continent of Africa. Like, back then, I was, like, I grew up around white people. Not to say, yeah, I think all of us went through that phase where you know, Tarzan's of the jungle. But basically, Africa was just this notion that white people sold to us. Basically, you know, Africa was so bad. The image that they painted, that Africa was so bad that you black people are lucky we gave you slavery. We put you through slavery so you can have this shit right here. Yeah, no, there's some black people who tell themselves that, yo, if it wasn't for slavery, we wouldn't discover Jesus. But so the image they painted of Africa was so terrible that slavery was like a good thing. Fuck, shout out to white people for being creative and putting bullshit like that in our head. But focus, getting back. X-Clan, now I remember how X-Clan dressed themselves up in African garments and made it look so fucking cool, so amazing, so appealing to my previously brainwashed mind. And it was beautiful. Actually, a lot of my dress code, a lot of when I started doing comedy and started to dress up, I was trying to imitate a member of X-Clan. Now, granted, the way I dressed was very, like lightweight, was light compared to them. Like, they had the boots. They had dressed in black. They had a crew behind them called Black Watch. That was so amazing. Anyway, holy shit, off topic. But I remember while looking for a title, and then, cause this is what happened. I discovered a okay. So let me just get to the lyric that by X-Clan. It was just a treat to finally be able to quote a verse by X-Clan on this podcast. That's really where I was going with this. And the verse goes, "Hey, point blank, living is a tank. Yeah, I question. Is that what he says, Tank? Okay, whatever. Because there's just some things that I'll never forget. I remember green suits on a black mare. I remember 9mm child slayers. I remember all those times that you called me an animal. But in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Brah, 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 brah. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I forgot. I have my little, Let it ride. Yes, yes. I said, I remember all those times that you called me an animal, but in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Whew, sorry. Shit, I'm peeking on this. There it goes. The emotion is getting the best of me. Some people would call it the Holy Spirit, but my I got the best of me. I'm tripping because I'm clipping in the sound effects, so I'm going to have to fix that in post-edit. Anyway, right. So the reason why I'm so excited by this verse. Now, at the time when I first heard that verse, I thought he said, I remember all those times that you called me an animal, but am I walking like a cannibal? That's what I thought he said. We didn't have Rap Genius back then. My friends and I, that's what we heard. And the point we were saying, the idea to it is, part of what X-Clan did is made us love, back then we used the word Afrocentricity, African centricity, basically love every aspect of our African self. And that verse at the time, the way we understood it, which is close to what the original meaning was, but the way we understood it is, I remember all those times that you called me in. We remember all those times that white people called us descendants of savages or savages or all the above. That's all we were. That's what all African was, our origins. We were just descendants of savages who were civilized by the white man. And the beauty is, and then he goes, but am I walking like a cannibal? Now, did I see this off the video? But I remember, yes, they had a picture of Jeffrey Dahmer walking. I didn't know he was from Milwaukee, or a lot of the crimes he committed was in Milwaukee. I don't give a fuck. But the point is, they were making a reference to Jeffrey Dahmer's. And we were all like, yeah, you call us savages, but you're the motherfuckers doing all the serial killing, and you're the people who are, I think this was before, yeah, the black serial killers. But the point is, we were like, you're the ones who are doing all the serial. It was the proof. It was the fact we needed to hear at that time to remind us that, hey, white people constantly saying all these negative things about us when deep down inside, when in the reality, they're all the negative shit they keep saying about us. Yeah, they're an example. So yeah, but it was just, this lyric was the equivalent of, I'm trying to explain it to you children. It's probably like what Drake said, trigger finger turned Twitter fingers. What do you say? What's the verse? I'm fucking it up. Oh, man. I'm losing my card as a black Canadian. Several points as a black Canadian. But when a rapper says a verse that makes you like jeer, like I just did. So yeah, that that verse meant a lot. Now here's the thing. Why the fuck am I talking about Jeffrey Dahmer? To be honest with you, I could have gone my entire lifetime not knowing about this asshole. But here's a little fun fact. My watch, I have one of these watch, and it's telling me, it thinks that I'm in the middle of a workout. It thinks I'm running. So my blood pressure must be really high. I gotta start exercising, man. This is fucked up. Anyways, yes. But I am passionate about this topic right now. I won't deny that. Very passionate. So, X-Clan in Milwaukee. Jeffrey Dahmer. Why the fuck am I talking about that foul-ass cracker? Shout out to Outkast. It's because I just discovered, I was ready to ignore it. I just discovered the Jeffrey Dahmer TV series on, hold on a second. Yeah. The Jeffrey Dahmer TV series on Netflix, and I started watching it. And it's funny how I had a lot of reservation about watching it because, well, one, here's the thing I'll admit to you is when the when he was arrested, or when the news about Jeffrey Dahmer became public or well known, mainstream, covered by mainstream media, I remember ignoring it. I remember because there was so many serial killers in the United States, and it just got basically you would hear about serial killers the same way you would hear about school shootings. It's like, fuck, man. You just or hurricanes in the South. It just you just got flooded with it so much that you just for me, I just ignored it. So I remember what got me. Okay, I'm trying to how I managed to get myself to watch the documentary. Yeah, I'm wasting a lot of time on something I didn't want to talk about. Oh, the title. Yeah, but on the title. But yeah, the phenomenon of Jeffrey Dahmer, how I'll be honest, he went unknown to me. And it's just someone posted something on Twitter. Granted, there's a lot of controversy about the TV series. Like some people are saying, hey, why the fuck do we need another? I had no idea, but apparently there's like six documentary works about this asshole, about this dude. I should mention that, because I looked him up on Wikipedia, that he died, he's dead. And the way he died is by some cellmate beat the shit out of him, man. He died of getting beat up. And yeah, so I'm watching the TV series and I was worried it's going to be a TV show about how, oh, let's go into his youth and explain why he became the fucked up person that he is. But it doesn't seem like it's going that way. It seems to be just bringing up on how racism, sexism, homophobia, all that brought us Jeffrey Dahmer. I feel like this is the direction this TV show is going. I'm laughing because how I went from, I'm not going to watch this shit, watch the first episode, and I thought the way they did it, spoiler alert, whatever, okay. The way they did it, I thought it was just going to be, there's 10 episodes, and I thought it was going to be 9 episodes of him being Jeffrey Dahmer, and the 10th is him getting caught. You know, there's no fucking way I was going to watch that. No, the show pretty much sets it up to talk about the court case and everything around it. So it's amazing how I went from, I'm not watching this shit. All right, let me watch episode number 2. Nah, I'm still not going to watch it. All right, let me watch number 3. And, but I'll be honest, what really got me to watch this shit is the victims, the family of the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer. I feel like I said, I didn't know shit about the dude except for what I was hearing in rap lyrics. He was frequently mentioned in rap lyrics. Just, I don't know what that was about. Comedians, I know, I forget, black comedians all made reference to him. I just knew that he ate people. He was serial killer. And I was really fuzzy on the part that a lot of his victims happened to be black. Which is like, I mean, victims are victims. I mean, yeah, the fact that he's victim, but he targeted black people. And the racism, the racial aspect about it is how one of his victims, when he escaped from Dahmer, the cops see him and they bring him back to him. And how many chances this white dude got, man? How many his privilege as a white person allowed him to continue killing and doing more shit? But one thing I will add to this scenario, I will add to this thing is before I jump to this week and I was gonna focus on all the rap lyrics that made reference to him, but I'm just gonna fuck that. Like a lot of gangster rappers say, you know, killing much niggas like Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, I ignored those ones. But Outkast has a verse in Benz and Beamer, I think it's called, and it just basically says how I'm pissing on Dahmer's grave, that cracker's foul. And my favorite reference to Jeffrey Dahmer was the X-Clan one. Even at the time, I didn't realize he was saying, but in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Like, all I know about Milwaukee is they had a beer out there. Anyways, yeah. I just watched the 4th episode, and there's a scene in there that just had me thinking. And it's about, like, of course, they go into his childhood. And it was more how, yo, this dude was a fuck up as a child. Like, okay, sure. His childhood was tragic. He was fucked up. Okay. The thing is, he was fucked up. His parents didn't help. His mom was, you know, I guess by today's standards, had mental health issues. And his dad, it's that part that gets me the most. The frustration his dad has with dealing with his son. And what does he do? He does what basically the whole, he does man shit. And I don't mean that in a positive way. He does like, okay, you need more discipline. You need an ass whooping. I'm frustrated and I just need to give you tougher love. The tougher he got on his child, the worse he made the situation. I guess that's what I'm trying to, really what I'm noticing after watching episode 4. So, it turns out, I don't know, this dude was, like in episode 4, the character talks about, yo, I was always fucked up. I've been fucked up. I just knew how to like integrate into society to make me look like I can relate to that, is pretending to be a normal member of society. Well, the part I can't relate is to desire to like eat people. So this character is, he's dealing with the fact that he's attracted to men and combined with, he's got an attraction for, I can't explain it, but watching their organs. See, I can't get into that, but whatever. There's a reasoning they try to provide in this show about how he got into eating people, what made, whatever. But it was just childhood, tragic childhood, and parents who couldn't address what made this child so fucked up. Like, I don't know if a different set of parents, that's interesting, if a different set, nature versus nurture, if a different set of parents who are able to, like, parents who are like, oh, wow, who can figure out how messed up their child was, like, basically, who would have been like, hey, yeah, it's okay to like men, shit like that. Now, I don't know how we got into eating people, how he made that sense, but it was just, the point that I'm getting is a tragic, look, I want to be clear, I'm not feeling sorry for this dude. It's the explanation that I'm trying to work with. You know what? Okay, I'm going to stop here because I forget, the reason why I started watching this show, it was just the fact that I felt there's a sense of guilt on my part for the victims who have to relive this shit. Like, it's gotta suck for them to have to be, hey, another documentary about him. Man, there are like, Jeffrey Dahmer has fucking groupies. I mean, yeah, he's got groupies. He had groupies, I should say, because, you know, motherfucker's dead. I don't know. At this point, I'm just watching it out of sheer curiosity. What initially got me to watch it was just because, like I said, it's like I'm apologizing to the victim for not knowing about the cause of, for dismissing this guy as, not that I'm speak to the victims directly, but there was just I don't know. It's like people are suffering and I feel the need to contribute, not to their suffering, but it's like at the very least, not be that guy. Like if I met one of the family members of one of the victims and they said, yeah, I lost a relative to Jeffrey Dahmer, I'd be like, who? I would have been like, who? Oh, that guy. I don't know. I'm sure that there's some, look, okay, at this point, I'm just watching it out of sheer curiosity, but I don't feel good about it. That's what I'm trying to, fucking Netflix, man. Fucking Netflix. All right, let's move on to, fuck. Sorry, I'm looking at the time and all the, this is my problem, prepping versus freestyling. I'm looking at the time and when I initially made this topic, I thought this was going to be a quick one, man, but here we are. All right, this week in therapy, I'm going to try to keep it short, and it's, I was going to read to you, like, there's some things that some notes that I took during therapy, but it's not the important part here, is what did I write? The notes that I took during the last therapy session, she said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about that. But the one thing I will bring up that happened in therapy, I had a moment where I realized I could not get myself to cry in front of my therapist. I did not want to cry in front of my therapist. So this is what happened. I feel like crying, men crying, is a topic up for itself. I might make dedicate an entire episode about that. But I had a moment in therapy where I forget. No, it's not that I forget what we were talking about. It's I don't want to talk. I don't want to tell you. Look, I'm down to share shit with you people, but not everything. Some shit I got to keep to myself. But anyways, there was a moment in therapy where we were talking about something, and I can sense inside me the urge to cry, to want to cry. Now, usually, it's not the urge to cry that got my attention, is how my automatic response to it is to, yo, press it down, ignore it, move it away, like shoo that shit away, like quell. It's the urge to cry is common, and the urge to, and the response to shoo it away is also common, to ignore it. It's think about being in an elevator and you need to fart, and you just, you know, you just repress it. You just hold it in and just, your circumstances tell you, yeah, this is not the place to do it. And I remember just talking and just feeling the need to share with my therapist. I say, hey, I got to tell you, I have this incredible urge to cry at the moment. And of course, true therapist self, she's like, you know, go cry, man. Cry home, boy. Let them tears out. And she's not the first one to tell me that. And to me, that feels so weird. Okay, what she ended up saying is, it's not that I wanted to cry, that I wanted to get across, is I wanted to communicate the fact that I can sense my urge to cry at the moment, and I can also sense my automatic default autopilot response to, like, ignore it, to squelch whatever's causing that, to repress that shit. Like, it's normal for me. Like, I was just catching myself in the behavior. That's the part that I wanted to share. But she said something interesting. She said, as I was trying to communicate that, she says, look, I would rather for you to cry in this session than at home alone, where you're just going to respond with flagellation, with, ah, oh, you little punk, you pussy, whatever. And like the last time I had a moment where I ended up crying, I remember being angry at myself. And I get it. Like, she's right. The thing, yeah, she's right about crying in the session, but there's something inside my psyche that stops me from doing that. Like, crying to me is like a defeat. Look, I don't want to hear shit about, oh, how it's not supposed to feel that way. I get it. I am not talking to you as a sane human being, as a everyone who's got it all right. Like, look, I'm a broken human being, man. And one of my brokenness is how crying feels like a sense of defeat. It's not something, if I do cry, it's by myself, alone, where no one can see. But even there, I still feel that shame of being surrounded by people when I cry. I can't explain it. I don't know what that's about. I know that's unhealthy. Sorry. I'm in therapy for a reason, but I'm just putting it out there that there's something about, I don't know. I like the one thing I did tell in the session, I did admit, I said, yeah, because she kept asking me, why don't you want to cry? Why can't you cry? You know what I mean? Like, homeboy, you're paying me a lot of fucking money for this shit. Why the fuck? This would be the place to do it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I associated shame with that shit. I don't get it, man. Like, the closest, it's kind of, I think I need, sometimes I wonder whether if I had a male therapist, even there, you know, if I had a male therapist, okay, what I was going to say is, it's as if I'm looking for permission to cry. I need Tupac to come back from the dead to say, homeboy, when I wrote So Many Tears, that was your permission to cry. No, it's like I need Pac to come back from the dead and say, yeah, it's okay to cry, young man. we won't consider you weak. I don't know. I had a home girl who associated crying with weakness. But as a woman, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? It's okay. It's like her and I had the same defect. Okay, you know, I'm going to speak for myself because if she heard me say that, so you saying I'm a defect? Fuck you. I'm crying to men is what sex is to women. We're not allowed to enjoy it. It's kind of, I feel like there's a bit somewhere in there. I'm going to figure it out. I feel like there's like, it's forbidden. It's like, yo, the 11th commandment by God is thou shalt not cry. Not that I'm a follower of the 10th commandment, but I'm just saying there's something in my mind that prevents me from crying. There's crying and shame are hand in hand. I remember one theory I had is, okay, like I said, I could make a whole episode about this shit. I'm going to stop there, but I'm just going to bring out how there was a moment where, and here's the thing, man. Please don't write me about how it's okay to cry. Trust me, all my healthy friends have all shared that thought. But I feel like, yeah, you're just saying that. I feel like it's forbidden. It's a contradiction. We say that it's okay to cry, but there's something there's something, what am I trying to say? I was just thinking of the song Promiscuous Girl. It's like, yeah, ladies, it's okay to, you know, to be as freaky deaky as the men, but deep down inside, it's like you're in a category now. You're now in a category of people who refuse to behave like society tells you to behave. And that's what it is with crying. I don't know if it's a society thing. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's a society thing, or just a psyche thing. But I can't see him coming down my eyes, so I gotta make this podcast cry, this song cry. Like I said, this could be an episode unto its own. Please don't write me emails about, like everyone who tells me it's okay to cry, I feel like it's just one big ass setup. And that's the thing too. When she was saying, my therapist was saying, I'd rather you cried here. I'm like, yeah, I am not going to feel right crying while you're giving me a box of tissue. or I don't know, being supportive. I guess I'm saying there's nothing she would have been able to say that would have felt like supporting, like it's being like you're supporting, like that would have encouraged me to cry. I guess that's what I've been like. If those tears comes out, that shame is also going to surface at the same time. Like I'm going to be cussing myself out at the, yeah, I just, anyway, look, I'm just, this week in therapy, this is my what the fuck. I don't have any solutions. I don't have, maybe by next episode, I'll have a more mature, better explanation about it. But I'm just admitting that it's fucked up that I couldn't get myself. I could have cried, but I like the will to not cry. You know what it is? It's like, It's. I remember the closest I could say. It's like, look, I fail. I've been failing at this being a man. Like, if all the rules about being a man, I feel like I fail them all. But the one thing I'm able to hold on to is my ability to not cry. I still remember being, it might have, how old was I? 7 years. I was really young. And that moment where, you know, when you're a kid and you get hurt and you cry. I still remember the first time I was able to be hurt and not cry. And ever since that moment, I feel like I broke something. Something got broken. It's like, I remember feeling like it was an accomplishment. It's like, oh shit, got kicked in the ball. Oh shit, that hurts. Like I handled it like the tough guy in the movie getting shot. It's like, oh it hurts. Oh. But in the movie, they're not like, ah. Well, actually, in Saving Private Ryan, they were crying. My guts is hanging. Hell, dude, did I mention I'm emotional and very sensitive? So that feeling of crying is very, like, constant when I just think about world issues. It's just, it's whatnot, man. Let me skip to, still on the topic of this week in therapy, and this part is probably could go into the random thoughts, but it's going to segue into random thoughts. It's, but I'm just going to say how I've been reading. In the previous episode, I mentioned how I'm reading the book by Bell Hooks. When I say read, I mean the audiobook. It's all audiobook for people who need to make that distinction. Excuse me. Bell Hooks, Feminism is for Everyone. I didn't make any progress with that this week. I don't know. I can't explain it. They're just, I can't explain it. But I did discover a book called A Wolf Hustle. Let me get the actual title, the full title. Hey, it's in my notes. Hey, good job, Martin. Good job, E-Black. Good job. Yeah, Wolf Hustle, A Black Woman on Wall Street. The author is Sin Fabry. And what got my attention to, I was just going through Audible looking for new titles, and this title shows up. And I'm thinking it's a popular thing, but this motherfucker was just released. Actually, let me give you the date it was released on sale. September 20th, what are we, the 25th? Yeah, 20th, so this week. And it's a bio memoir, Sin Fabry. And what got me is how the author, not only is she black and a woman, but she's of Haitian descent. Now at first, Haitian descent. Brah, 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 who's your blood up in this bitch? That's what got my attention the most. Now, first, in her introduction, in the introduction of a book, it's meant to sell the reader onto buying a book. I didn't really like it. The introduction didn't really do that because I felt she was talking to, and I got to start with Sin Fabry, Sagafet, blah, blah, not like she's listening to this podcast, but if she was listening to this podcast, the next thing I'm about to say has nothing to do with you. It's more a perception of me. It's more about me than it is about you, what I'm about to say. So, in her introduction, she used the word, basically, yo, I'm a black woman who's grinding, hustling, work hard. She didn't use the word pull myself by the bootstrap, but basically used a lot of the words that make me feel like she's saying, like, this is why, this is why I'm hot, and this is why you're not. I worked hard. I hustled. I grind. You know, I fucking was a success. I fucking listened to Tony Robbins every day. I ran like Rocky. It just, to me, it sounded like, oh, fuck, another one of these New York hustlers talking about how they became successful. It was just, I remember I was, the fact she was Haitian made me say, made me think of all the Haitians that I know who use her jargons, and they were full of shit. Most of them were just full of shit. Sure, I don't know, like, whether they were rich or not, but the what was really prevalent about their personality is they were the shit-talking type. Like, if you were their girlfriends, I'd be like, if you were their boyfriend, basically, it's the arrogance. It's the way sometimes I think I grew up in church, in the whole church philosophy of being humble, don't brag, don't be shit, and blah, 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 blah. I feel like I was raised with the opposite mentality to survive in their world. And I was made to be like, oh, how dare you be sure of yourself? How dare you? You be such a hard work. You know, it's like, look, revenge is for the Lord. I'm laughing at my own self. All this to say that her introduction to her book, it felt like listening to a rap 50 Cent brag about how he's rich and how he made it and how he's the shit and you ain't shit. You know what I mean? That's how I interpreted her the intro. The rest of the book, though, like, I'm just like, I'm enjoying what I'm reading. Shout out to her. I'm glad, she's a storyteller. But what I love is the rest of the chapters is pretty much her creating the scene and making me realize that, yo, different circumstances, I could have been like her. I love, like, she starts out by saying, she describes the scenario about my parents are from Haiti. She goes into the history of Haiti that we all proud of, how, you know, Haiti being the first black republic. Where's your blood up in this bitch? Anyway, yeah, first black republic. And, but how, basically, it's a biography, right? So she starts with how her parents are from Haiti, how they met up, and how they learned English, which is very important, because I've always wondered what made Haitians decide to go into the United States? My parents, they immigrated to Canada, Montreal. To me, it makes sense because, we parle français, they speak French. But her parents chose to move to Harlem. And from Harlem, they went to South Bronx. But all the details she describes, it just made her a human being. Not just human being, but a fellow Haitian Haitian whose parents came here from Haiti, made a life for themselves, and hope that, yo, we're hoping that your lives will be way better than ours. Granted, my parents wanted me to find Jesus here, but whatever, I'm getting overcomplicated. But I just loved her story. It was just, made me believe. I feel like when I listen to her, it's like I can see myself in a different universe. In her shoes, and I also like how the shit that she goes through allowed her to become the person she became now, man. But all this to say that I'm enjoying this story. I'm enjoying her story, and I'm on the list of I'm. You know what's interesting? I can't find any details about the author, Sin Fabre, and I'm just thinking about how, at what point she said, "Yo, this life of mine needs to be in a book." All I can say is, so far, I'm grateful that she followed through to it. But inspirational shit, man. Inspirational shit. So, oh my God. What time is it? 46 minutes. Okay. Now let's jump into random thoughts. By the way, I'm thinking of getting some soundtrack, some kind of like music to break down the different section of, I'm thinking about it. Whether I do it is another story. Okay. Random thoughts. Okay. Random thoughts says, this week in therapy is usually focused thoughts. The random thoughts is everything, all of the above. Like, for example, you know, to my fellow lotion users, people who, you know, skin lotion, who use skin lotion, not just for masturbating, but what is the point of it? Hydrate your skin or make your skin better. Whatever, right? I'm sorry. I'm thinking about when, back in the day, because I grew up with white people, and white people used to make fun of me for using lotion. Didn't think it was a masculine thing to do, and only to find out that's why I'm in my 40s looking young, and you're in your 30s looking like you should be executed. Anyway. Like she'd be kicked down the stairs for saying some racist shit. Whatever. My point is, here I am now. Lotion. Yeah. People who use lotion. And this is a rant right now, right? You know when you get to the point of the bottle where you're close to being empty? Like if you use the pump, I use one of the pump ones, the one that has the pump. And when it gets empty, the straw they use in the lotion doesn't reach the lotion anymore. And you're just like, so you're pumping for nothing, or you got to shake the bottle shit, or you got to, like, you know, put it upside down so it'll come down and or whatever, right? I hate that part of the life cycle of skin lotion. I fucking hate it. Because what happens is I can't get myself to throw away that bottle when the pump stops working. Like, I want to be rich enough to be like, if I hit the pump and there's nothing that squirts out, throw it in the garbage. Nope. I gotta like fucking put it upside down, gotta shake it a lot. And what's worse is when you go into my bathroom, it's really disgusting. Not that I have dates coming over to my house, but whatever. Actually, yeah, if I had a date coming out, I'd get rid of that bottle. My point is, I hate walking into the washroom and this fucking bottle is like either upside down or halfway open because I still want to get the last portion of lotion that's in the bottom of that fucking bottle. And the only way I can get to it is if I shake the bottle, put it upside down, and I'm just annoyed. That's my rant. That's my rant. Fucking Jesus Christ. If you got any solutions, how do you deal with skin lotion bottle when you're close to the end? Do you throw it out or do you have any techniques? Do you siphon it? Like, if you have any techniques, I want to hear about it. But right now, I hate that part of a... Like, I already bought a new bottle of skin lotion, but I can't use it until I've... I've assuaded... Is that the word? Assuaded? Basically, gotten rid of that guilt. Yeah, my parents would have kicked your ass if you would have thrown the bottle away when there's, like, fucking cream at the bottom. Granted, they would have done stupid shit like putting water to get... You know what? I'm content. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. Sin Fabre can probably relate to what I'm talking about because she grew up Haitian. She grew up, yeah, with Haitian parents. And holy shit, man. Yo, man. Part of the story, too, is she grew up with less privilege, financial privilege than I had. Yeah, man. She grew up poor. Like, that woman can paint a picture, man. Yeah, she grew up poor and struggling. And the blessings that she got, fuck, seems to be well-deserved. Anyway, yeah, skin lotions. What's that? Maybe I should stop buying the pump and use the squeezable one. Yeah, but you still have, when there's still some left, like you got to shake it at the end. Ah, tabarnak. Okay. All right. Too much time wasted on that one. Church ratchetness. The next section goes on my, and the next random thought goes under, hashtag church ratchetness. And church ratchetness is my section, or is my topic, where I talk shit about the church. Oh, right. I just remembered. You might be a new listener. Yeah, I talk shit about the church. Why? This is what happens when you force your kids to go to church, man. Or force your kids to be... So I'm a pastor's kid. Some of us pastor's kid have families, have babies with several women from the congregation, do some foul shit. Me, I talk shit about the church. That's where I'm at right now. Church ratchetness. Oh, and if by any chance you also happen to be a part of the Black Guy Who Tips community and you're listening to church ratchetness and you're saying, hey, church ratchetness, you stole that concept from sword ratchetness of the Black Guy Who Tips. And I want to say that to you, that is incorrect. Because in sword ratchetness, they're talking about swords. In church ratchetness, I'm talking shit about the church. And also, they're McDonald's. The Black Guy Who Tips is McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. I'll leave it at that. All right? Talk to your congressman. All right. All right. Today in church ratchetness, I'm going to talk about this article crossed my path last week, and I was thinking about talking about it. It's this is from but the story is from theroot.com. Flamboyant Brooklyn bishop involved in more drama. His name is Lamar Whitehead. Pulpit never lacks for excitement. Okay, so Lamar Whitehead. I thought it was Lamar, but Lamar Whitehead. Yeah, so he's a bishop. Basically, this motherfucker is known for, you know what? Instead of going off script, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Okay. Pastor Bishop Lamar Whitehead is my reminder to why to stop taking church seriously. See, like when your pastor is on TMZ, like when I'm reading an incident that happened at his church on TMZ, I'm just saying, fucking white flag. But again, I refuse to take this church shit not seriously. But yeah, here he is. He just happens to be a public pastor. His claim to fame is the fact that he's flossed out. He's like one of those prosperity gospel preacher. I didn't see that in his bio, but basically it's like, look, I'm rich. I'm wearing all this high jewelry. I'm a successful pastor. And why? Because God blessed me. His flossing, the fact that he's so rich is a manifestation of God's glory on this motherfucker. I it annoys me. My dad used to talk about that shit and it annoyed him too. like the prosperity gospel, but I won't get into that. But basically, he like dresses. He's more flamboyant than rappers, and he's saying, yeah, the reason this happened is because God likes me better than he likes you. Anyways, yeah, no, I mean, you can get God to like you like he loves me, but you just gotta, like, you know, donate. He's a hustler, man. I just can't take this motherfucker. Okay, I'll be honest with you, man. Two kinds of pastors I can't trust. Nigerians and New York pastors, man. Look, no disrespect to New Yorkers and no disrespect to Nigerians. We're all human. People are people. But I'm just saying, the brand is, don't look at me. Don't act like I made this shit up. But yeah, Nigerians in the black community have this reputation of being grimy hustlers. The same hustler when I was reading the introduction to Sin Fabry's book, Wolf of Wall Street. No, that's not what she calls it. A wolf hustle. That same. Anyway, yeah, like the hustler mentality. Like Nigerians and New Yorkers have a reputation of being fucking hustlers. Some of them are good hustlers, and some of them will don't trust your wallet around them. That's they will talk you into buying. Talk you into buying a bridge that they don't own. That's what I'm trying to say, man. Some of the I'm all over the place. So it's just when to hear this pastor. When I heard his story, I'm like, yeah, of course he's from New York. I remember just thinking that. Only thing missing is to find out that he's got a, okay, whatever. I'm going to get some negative letters from Nigerian community, but I'm just going to say, man, it's the brand. It's the, whatever, man. It's my podcast. Whatever the fuck, man. Sorry you're offended. I'm not sorry. If I said it, I meant it. Bite my tongue for no one. All right. Where was I? Yeah. So this same pastor, he's dressed up or whatever. And the way he got on my radar is he got robbed. He was live streaming one of his service. And dudes robbed the preacher for the offering. I think that's a Biggie line. And yeah, two dudes came to the church and robbed the motherfucker. And it's, yeah, he's getting on the floor. You could see the people. That's how he got claim to fame. But now he's in the news because a woman was at his church, and I don't know what that was about. He claims that they came over to disrupt his church. The woman says, look, I'm a writer. I'm just trying to make some research for my book. But anyways, he says something like, yo, you feel like preaching? Well, come to the front. And the woman came to the front, and this motherfucker, the pastor, grabs her by the hair like she's some animal on camera. And I'm sure he's going to use some line, hey, God forgives me, so the rest of you should do the same thing too. But yeah, she grabs the woman, and that's what he, you know what, I'll be in the show notes, man. I read the articles, but I suck at regurgitating them afterwards. But it's just, like, I don't know what happened afterwards. There's just a video of him grabbing her by the hair, and that story has gone viral. But all this to say, church ratchetness, man. That's some ratchetness inside the church. Shout out to Pastor Bishop Lamar. You know what kills me is I read his description. On his website, about the church, about our pastor, and I read the description, and the whole time I'm reading, I'm like, fuck. It just made me think about how, basically, it's like he presents himself to be a very clean-cut motherfucker, but I would not trust that dude with I'm trying to find an expression to say I wouldn't, as far as I can from, whatever. I wouldn't buy fucking shit from that guy. I wouldn't buy a single, I would keep my distance from this dude, man, because he's a hustler. He's just, all I see is hustling out of him. But yeah. All right. Next segment. The idea. All right. Okay. I'm thinking of this next random thought is I'm thinking of probably adding a segment to the podcast where I list off all the content I consumed this week. Like from podcast, TV show. But in this particular case, this week's episode, on The Daily Show, Trevor Noah was talking about Putin, and there's something he says, there's a joke that he makes, and it's based on the idea that Putin might be the kind of person who doesn't know how to lose. Because he's just surrounded, you know, he goes to karate tournaments and they give him first prize. And basically, he's a dictator, man. He's like, he's surrounded by yes men, yes people. And I'm going to say yes men. And people who are just like, yeah, who'll play pool with them. And, you know, they know better than to. Basically, the idea that there are human beings going around who may not know how to, like Trump. Who may not know how to lose. Now, usually that's considered a positive, you know, I will not lose. But do not have the ability, the capacity to know. He's used on participation prize, getting trophies, getting his way. And I just bring this up not to make fun of him, but it's more the idea of how I'm very familiar with losing. How familiar I am with so much that the book on winning is very short. Everything I know about winning is very short. But it's like, I'm so accustomed to losing. This is not a poor me shit. It's just the mindset I grew up with. I end up developing for myself. Like, part of why I hated school is because I felt like it was just another way for the universe to call me a loser. I just felt so... not just out of place, but all school was doing was just telling me how much of a loser I am. Every time, like, it didn't matter if I would get an A, I would ignore that. If I would get an A in math, or that I would ignore it, or maybe it's because I didn't get the same celebration. Well, part of why I would ignore the fact that I would get an A in math is because I was surrounded by white people. It would be like, who gives a fuck? They were focused on the fact that I wasn't athletic. But yeah, no, school is... all my victories, I would ignore. All my losses was just reinforcement that, yeah, no, you were meant to lose. So, like, I would hand in, like, an assignment, and the teacher would give it back with all red marks all over the place. All I would focus on is on the red mark. And whatever grade I got, it was just... I wouldn't focus on how well I did. I would just think about... The red marks. Even, like, the teacher would probably put some note about, hey, this is what you should do to improve. I'd ignore that. All I would focus on the fact is what I gave her wasn't perfect. So, yeah, no, I was just thinking about how familiar I am to losing and how I wonder if I would have benefited from having a portion of his mindset who doesn't know how to lose. Look, I'm not saying... him not knowing how to lose is a good thing. The story that Trevor Noah was sharing was how he's losing the war and he's trying to recruit 300 more. He's trying to bring in 300,000 more soldiers into the cause. Like, it's just like, whoa, what the fuck? Okay, let's just throw money at the problem. And that's like his inability to lose is just making shit worse. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, I wonder when Hitler committed suicide, was he still telling himself, I'm still winning? when all the Allied troops were, like, the Russia was, like, at his door and he took his own life, was in his mind, like, I believe he might have been one of those people who convinced himself, I don't lose. And even in suicide, that was him saying, hey, I win because you guys don't get my body. Whatever, but anyway, yeah. The idea that someone out there might not know how to lose is just fascinates me. Next, in the article, you know that clip that's been going around of Kanye West yelling, how? You ain't got the answers, Sway. You ain't got the answers. I had no idea what that clip was about, but I just kept saying it. You ain't got the answers, Sway. And today's clip will... show some insight about that. Turns out Sway had the answers. That's where we're going with this. I'm going to play today's clip. Here we go. Hold on.
He now plans to sell the Yeezy brand directly to consumers. He now plans.
Okay, let me read the caption for this tweet. It goes, Kanye West admits Sway had the answers this whole time. And news reporter is talking about one-on-one with Ye. on social media, co-parenting his private school and brand battles. Okay, here we go. Wait, private school and co-parenting. Oh, okay, on social media. Okay, gotcha. All right. Okay, here's the clip, and it starts short, unfortunately. Hopefully, you'll get the context of what the fuck they're talking about.
Plans to sell the Yeezy brand directly to consumers, something he argued about with radio host Sway back in 2013.
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
How, Sway?
Take a few steps back to go.
You ain't got the answers, man.
So Sway, almost 10 years ago, said, man, why don't you do it on your own? Was he right?
You know what? I will go ahead and say Sway had the answer.
He now plans to sell the Yeezy brand.
Sway had you. You know what gets me about that clip is I remember the first time it came out, and it was comedian, podcaster, celebrity, very special human being, Ray Sani, on the internet. She was I can't remember the context, the platform she was on, but she was just talking about, commenting about how when that clip came out, or that interview came out, and and she joked about how bad Sway showed a lot of control, because that dude's from Oakland and he could have fucked up. Yay for talking to him like that. See, what I didn't know is Sway was in the middle of giving Kanye good advice, and I had no idea that what like. The context of that conversation to that outburst on the part of Kanye. And, you know, I just realized that I just fell for the trap. I think when Kanye does something, it's just so people will talk about it. And here I am talking about him. Damn, I'm just advertising for Kanye West. Damn, I keep falling for it. Anyway, whatever, man. I'm just laughing at the fact that when that's the only thing I knew about the context of that conversation is Kanye was being a little rude, was being rude. And Sway, you know, big dude. Like, I don't know, Sway. Sway looks like a peaceful guy. But based on the perspective from Ray Sani, she was saying, yeah, man, whoo, man, that dude could have fucked him up. I just like that idea that, because he's from Oakland. And shout out to Oakland, man. I love Oakland. I've been to Oakland. Sorry. I've never lived there, but I'm just saying I've been to Oakland. Beautiful city, man. Black people. Oh, my God. Some of the kindest black folks I've met in my life. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, it's from Oakland. And how if it wasn't for the mic and the cameras, then Kanye could have gotten fucked up during that show. But, no, in the end, Sway got the last laugh. Turns out he was right. And Kanye, shout out to Kanye for was it biting the bullet? No, swallowing his pride and admitting that Sway had the answers. Sway had the answers. All right. Next random thought. What else did I have? You know what? Because I'm going overtime, I'm going to make this quick. I read this op-ed about this op-ed in the LA Times, and the title goes, and it'll be in the show notes, op-ed, think it's righteous to abstain from voting when you don't like the choices? Think again. And look, man, I'm the last person who would preach to you about voting. Well, I started voting myself, but I was upset how when part of why Trump won is because a lot of motherfuckers didn't show up to the voting booth. And I think, so we're in this situation where the head of the conservative party, I'm not going to go into detail, like figure it out, Google it, man. The head of the conservative party, the opposition party of the guy in charge, the prime minister, well, he's like a wannabe Canadian Trump. Like a lot of the tactics Trump used is what he has in his arsenal. And now a lot of people are thinking, no way this motherfucker's going to win, is going to become a prime minister. Our next election is, I forget, because I'm not a great Canadian. Our next election, federal election, at some point, is a lot of people are thinking this motherfucker can't win against Trudeau or against the Liberal, or whoever's running the Liberal. Can't become prime minister because he's too crazy. But that's exactly what we said about Trump. And what I'm getting at is the only strategy I can see for this guy, his name is Pierre Poilievre. Shout out to the French people who understand what I'm saying. Pierre, I can't pronounce it in English. Poilievre. Yeah, his name is, his strategy, the only way this motherfucker could win, I could see him win, is if he creates a situation where all these intellects get convinced into, yo, the I can't decide between the best of two evils right now. That's essentially, this is just another public servant announcement to be like, vote, assholes. Vote, motherfuckers. Vote. Because a lot of people, there's this new trend going on, especially like it's with Black Americans, where they're being talked out into voting because, oh, the Democrats ain't shit. They don't do shit for Black people. And they manage to sucker themselves into to get duped into not voting. The Republicans, look, Republicans are the party of orgies are bad. Blowjobs are bad. They're that guy. They're like, you know, okay, sure. They're like, you know, against abortion and shit like that. But they're like, they have unpopular ideas. That's what I'm trying to say. They know they have to unpopular ideas. So they have to fucking cheat to win. And one of the things they do is convince people who wouldn't vote for them to not vote at all. That's their genius. We spend a lot of time watching Daily Show clips or Fox News saying stupid shit, Trump supporters saying stupid shit. But who's the idiot when they manage to convince our side to not show up to vote? And this is just a public... Look, the bottom line, Shut Up Podcast, on behalf of B-Black from Shut Up Podcast, says, look, if you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. And I'm too old to join any revolution, so I vote. That's what I'm trying to say. I get what it's like to show up to the voting booth, and it's difficult to make an educated guess. I get it. I just, like, you know, I remember when I first got myself to vote, and then someone said, hey, dude, now you got to make a formed decision, informed decision about your voting. I'm like, fuck, man. It's hard enough. I got to vote. Now I got to do some research. Fuck you. Whatever. Like, I get it. Like, and whatnot. I guess I'm saying, out of all the research to do and everything, figure out who doesn't want you to vote. Make your decision from there and why they don't want you to vote. Yeah. All this to say that, yeah, vote. Fucking, yeah, it kills me. In this country, we got very low voter turnouts, but a lot of fucking complainers. Anyways, we got very low voter turnout. Breaks my heart. It is what it is. I mean, I remember when I was that guy who refused to vote, who didn't think that voting mattered. So I guess I'm watching my words because I don't want to feel like a hypocrite. And I mean, okay, maybe I am being a hypocrite. But I'm saying... Bottom line is, I'm just going to leave it as, like, in the words of Malcolm X, the ballot or the bullet. If you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. So you better be on the fucking streets on that revolutionary shit. Just give me a heads up because, you know, I don't want to get caught in the crossfire. Yeah. Vote. This is really the only public service announcement about vote, assholes. Just fuck. Get out there and vote. I know. Shout out to P. Diddy. Did he do that during the Obama days? He had a vote or die. Basically, he was trying to make voting cool, so he said vote or die. And I'm just trying to urge my fellow citizens, get out there and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Look, the reality is this. The more people vote, the more the people I don't like. The more the people I don't like are likely to win. I guess that's where my confidence is. But yeah, if the guy I don't like wins for a fair election and the majority of the country voted, I'll accept the fucking decision. I'll move. I'll accept the fact that, oh, turns out this is your country. I'll accept that. What kills me is when the guy I don't like wins the election, and we had a very low voter turnout. That pisses me off. But that's the way it is. That's where it is. All right, okay. Last piece of random notes is, so this week, the name Mahsa Amini was in my timeline very frequently. Okay, I'm going to make sure I pronounce their name properly because she deserves to be, that's a name that deserves to be remembered. Death of Mahsa Amini. Hold on a second. Let me make sure I'm pronouncing her name. How to pronounce. Okay.
Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa Amini. Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa Amini. Okay.
Mahsa.
Okay, he's pronouncing it too. I'm gonna say Mahsa Amini. Amini, sorry. Okay, Mahsa Amini is a, for understand, a Turkish woman, not Turkish, basically woman who was killed in Iran. Oh, here we go. Who is Mahsa Amini? Let me just play this.
Why are these women burning their hijabs and cutting their hair? In Iran, people are outraged about the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. There's a lot of details that haven't been confirmed about what exactly happened, but we know that she was arrested by Iran's morality police for not wearing her headscarf properly. She was then taken into custody and died 3 days later. Police say she collapsed while she was detained and died of a heart attack, but her family says that she was perfectly healthy and never had any heart problems. Some people say that they saw officers beat Amini in the police van after she was arrested. And there are allegations that she took blows to the head. Protests blew up after her funeral. Many see this as the last straw for women in Iran dealing with violent policing. The UN said they received a number of videos showing Iran's morality police violently cracking down on women for not following hijab rules. They've called for an independent investigation into Amini's death. At least 7 people have reportedly been killed since the protests started.
All right. Shout out to the news movement for this clip. Yeah.
So an innocent woman in Iran named
Mahsa
Amini was murdered last week, September.
So there's several pronunciations of her name, eh?
So an innocent woman in Iran named Mahsa Amini.
Mahsa. Okay. I'm going to go Mahsa Amini. Mahsa Amini. Anyway, she's been on my newsfeed very frequently because of the story you just heard. And for me, it's the idea of the bad guys killed her. So she deserves to be a martyr and remembered, and especially what she stood for. And it's, the one woman said it perfectly. It's by killing her, the message they send to the world is, a woman obeying is more important than her life. And I'm glad that there's riots in the streets. I'm glad that the people, upper management are like, oh, fuck, we fucked with the wrong one. And I'm glad that all the protests that's going on, like in Iran. And most of us over here, like, I like to think that, you know, are supportive of what's going on. Of the clapback, that's what I'm trying to say. But I have mixed feelings about, not her death, the response. Mixed feeling about the response, right? On one hand, I'm inspired because it's a beautiful, okay, granted, okay, I'm inspired, focus B, I'm inspired by the clapback, by the manifestation, the come on, son, anglais, the protest, the outrage against the police, like man, if I don't know how much the security guards over there get paid, if it's minimum wage, but they're showing up to work and like, fuck, I was just hoping to play Candy Crush on my phone today, man. Nah, they got a lot of work cut out for them, man. There's like an uprising in several cities in Iran. Excuse me, in Iran. I'm trying to pronounce that right too. Not like white people. Iran. The mixed feelings I have for the response. So I'm inspired by the fact that women are at the forefront and fellas are like, you know, like, fuck that, man. We're the muscles in here. Like there's a clip of some asshole slapping a woman because she's not wearing her hijab. And then and the fellas see this and they jump him, they stomp him, and as he deserves. And he's probably thinking about, oh, what the fuck? Wait, holy shit, but I'm the good guy. I'm just trying to get these ladies to behave. What's wrong with you kids? Whatever, right? But yeah, man, I like seeing the younger generation rising up like this on some old bullshit, man. But anyways, so the mixed response that I have, the reason why I have mixed feelings is because on the other end is I'm angry at the commentators who are one had no regard for the people of Iran. Wasn't there a recent assassination? Trump killed one of their leaders. My point is how people of Iran were just dismissed as brown people and their crazy religion. And I'm angry at the commentators, at the people who up until this point couldn't give a fuck about what was going on in that country. Two, turned a blind eye when in the States over here, when the abortion debate came up, and a lot of dudes were like, either didn't give a fuck about the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned, or the stupid shit people were saying about, hey man, basically men who are in the pro, quote unquote, pro-life, I'm not going to call it pro-life, forced birth movement, men like that men who are in the forced birth movement, and they're like looking at what's going on in Iran, and it's going, yeah, all right, uprising, yeah, man, fucking police. I mean, fuck the police, whatever, right? And at the same time, basically, I hate that they're using this opportunity to be like, we're better than them, or this is them catching up to us. That's what that commentator, that's who's ruining the whole beautiful movement response to this tragedy of her murder. I've been watching this with mixed feelings. Like, there's been a lot of times where I just felt like some commentator, I felt like saying, shut the fuck up, man. Or wish I had the way to explain how, you know what, okay, how you're part of the problem. How if you were in Iran, you'd be part of the morality police. That's what I'm trying to say. That's who's been fucking up my day. But I'm trying to focus on the positive. Shout out to the uprisers, the youth, the people fighting back. It's not just young people, but all over fighting back. And I'm rooting for you guys. I'm rooting for them. And I don't know. I'm trying to say, like, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for their success. That's what I'm trying to get at. And RIP, rest in peace, Mahsa Amini. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Did I enjoy myself? Yeah, I did. I kind of did. sorry, because I started the episode with how I'm stressed out with whether to freestyle or prepare an episode. I really did not mean to go and take up for this to go 20 minutes overboard, but that's who we are, man. That's where we are. That's where we're at. Okay. Me and my bridge words. All right. I actually write this down. This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. You can holler at me. Okay. Usually this is the part where I tell you about my Twitter account, but that's been banned. So just use the Shut Up Podcast. Look for NT Shut Up Podcast at Shut Up Podcast 1 on Twitter. Even though a part of me is like, fuck Twitter. But my website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And until further notice, just use the RSS feed on the website to subscribe to the website. I'm not on iTunes directory for podcasts, nor am I on Spotify. That's just a logo I just keep there to keep it pretty. But yeah, until further notice, just use the RSS feed. Thank you for listening, especially newcomers. Hope you enjoyed yourself. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.